Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When my YouTube channel started taking off, it felt good. And then, weirdly enough, when I wasn't focused on acting and stand-up, I was getting more acting and stand-up offers than I was when I was actually doing them constantly.
Yeah.
So it's weird how that works, when like you feel like you're giving something up, but really focusing on one thing helps momentum for all the other things. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody. It's the woman. But please don't get that confused with woman.
He's not a woman.
Thank you.
It would be okay if you...
But I'm not.
But you're not.
I am the woman. But some people have been trying to clown on me saying like, oh, he's like a woman. And I'm like, that's
silly.
Not what
that's
is.
Not even that at all.
Please don't say that. Thank you.
He's a woo man.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's my turn to talk about a topic today. And this show started with, is called Shit They Don't Tell You, because it's all the shit that we had to figure out that we wish that someone would have told us.
Facts.
And so how could you know some shit until you learn it if no one told you, right? And so I have been going through a phase this past, I don't know, year and some change, maybe a little bit longer. It's like a weird transition phase. I've learned a lot of things along the way, but mostly in the recent times, I've noticed that I am entering another pattern that I have been through before several times. And now that I'm well into my 30s, we won't say how old exactly, but
36.
Quite a few years into my 30s, I'm like, hey, this is the same thing that happened in my 20s, like the same pattern. But in my 20s, when it happened, it was like the first kind of time that it happened. So I was like very panicky and didn't, you know, you don't know what to do and you don't know if you're doing the right thing and blah, 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 all these unknowns. And it's very scary. I had lots of panic attacks. This time I felt myself starting to feel that way. And then I was like, wait, we've done this before. We kind of know the answers. Maybe we should talk about this because I want to share this with you. I think there might be a lot of other people who go
you're
through this
too. You're going
through
this right now, yeah.
Yeah. So the thing that was happening in my 20s, and maybe some of you can relate, is that I had a lot of things I wanted to do, a lot of ideas, a lot of goals. They were all in the same kind of area, kind of zone, but they were very different things that required different levels, or like very specific levels of focus. So in my 20s, I was in the entertainment industry and I was doing stand-up comedy. I was acting in a traditional space like television and movies. Like I was going on auditions, so going to like working with traditional agents and managers and trying to book commercials, going to auditions, getting headshots, all of that kind of stuff. And I was I had just gotten onto YouTube, like working with a lot of YouTube channels, and people were like, you need to start your own YouTube channel. And I was also working at a job as a waitress to pay the bills. Okay, so the first three that I mentioned, I had not made any dents in as far as financially in order to like pay my bills and live to continue doing those things. So I had to keep the restaurant job. Okay, the other three were conflicting with each other as far as time and energy goes. So I would constantly have to choose if I wanted to go do stand up or if I wanted to work my restaurant shift, because those were both at night. And then in the daytime, if I wanted to work on a YouTube channel or if I needed to prepare for an audition, because those were both during the day. So it was really hard, but I didn't want to give any of them up because I liked them all. You know, I liked all of them. The thought of giving one up felt really bad to me.
Yeah.
But to try to build all of those things, it's like trying to build 10 houses going one brick at a time, like laying a brick on this house and then going to the next one, laying a brick on that one, and then going to the next one and laying a brick on that one. You're like, you're building it, sure, but you're building it super, super slow. Meanwhile, everyone that's just focused on one, like all my friends that were just doing stand-up, they started getting all kinds of gigs doing stand-up nightly, you know, going on tour. All my friends that were just focused on their YouTube channel, they started making a revenue stream out of it, and now they could afford to just do YouTube full-time. My friends that were just doing acting, same thing. They were booking TV shows, and they were just like focused on that one thing, and I felt like I was getting left behind, like where everybody was finding success, and I'm like, wait, I study just as much, but I was just burning the candle at both ends. So yeah, I ended up choosing YouTube because I felt like it had the most momentum going for it. I also felt like the things that I liked about acting and stand-up could be done on YouTube with sketch comedy. It's like combination of acting and stand-up, like you're still kind of doing similar things. So I didn't feel like I was giving those up. And it felt, you know, I felt bad to not be focused on those other things. But then when my YouTube channel started taking off, it felt good. And then weirdly enough, when I wasn't focused on acting and stand-up, I was getting more acting and stand-up offers than I was when I was actually doing them constantly.
Yeah.
So it's weird how that works, when like you feel like you're giving something up, but really focusing on one thing helps momentum for all the other things. And this trying to like drop things to focus on one is the hard part, because you don't, you know, really want to. There's also nuances
to it too.
Yeah.
So like,
there's so much unknown. Like, I didn't know if that was going to work out. What if I regretted, like, oh, like what if it doesn't work out? And then I regretted giving up, you know, acting or stand up, or I can't pay my bills or whatever.
Yeah. Like, you know, and on the, you know, on the other side of it, cause I was one of the examples of people who were like thriving because I was focused on YouTube. Right?
Yeah.
But like, so like when what you're going through, you're looking at me and going, well, he's just able to focus on YouTube.
Yeah.
But kind of, right? Because like there was a weird thing where I was hired at Maker Studios as a writer.
Right.
And so I'm writing for other people. And then if I want to do my stuff, it's on my own time.
Yeah.
So that's like one of those things where I do feel like it benefited me anyway. Because I'm like meeting all these people, like I was writing for Timmy D.
You're in the same like vein,
same
right?
Because
you had chosen YouTube, so everything else extra was helping you towards the YouTube, right? Whereas like I had to work as a waitress to pay my bills, and that's not helping me at all in any vicinity.
And trust me, I was so thankful about that, because I had just come from a high rise downtown LA. I couldn't believe I was getting paid to write.
Yeah.
My ex-girlfriend's dad said, you'll never ever get paid to write in Los Angeles. I proved him wrong many times over.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful too. But but it was definitely not for me.
Yeah.
It was like, but then I learned, you know, a skill from that, like, which is, I came into it coming from UCB comedy scene where everyone's too good for everything.
Yeah.
And so I had this like cocky fucking attitude about writing for other people. But I learned very quickly, like, wait a minute, don't I want to just do a good job for them? If I'm their writer, don't I want to like learn their voice and do a good job for them?
Yeah.
Like,
you were open to learning things.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you a good writer if you're able to write to their voice?
Yeah.
So I thought it was like challenging. I was like, oh, I found a challenge to it.
But what I've always admired about you is that you actually can just pick something and focus on it, like, and not hardcore. Feel guilty about leaving the other thing behind.
That's true.
And I have the hardest time doing that. So currently I have the vlog channel, this podcast, I have, I have poker, and then there's like new projects coming up. Right. And I mean,
there's a synergy that's happening.
There's a synergy that's happening for sure.
And I told you it would happen.
But there's an unknown aspect that makes it scary.
But that's why it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, right? I love that. And embracing that is really great and really key. But there's also this this guilt factor, which I had before when this happened, where I'm like, I'm going to disappoint my agent and manager when I say I'm going to focus more on YouTube than acting, right? But then it didn't, because it ended up getting more jobs that way. So the same thing is like happening, where I'm like, oh no, like I love vlogging and I want to continue to be consistent on my vlog channel, but I'm continuously inconsistent. And then it makes me feel bad, even though I know the thing I'm working on right now will allow me to like work on it more in the future. Like I'll be able to vlog more in the future.
Your vlog channel fans are so used to this.
They're the best.
It's like, what?
I love my vlog
channel.
Nobody's
not used to it.
I just feel
they would be weirded out if you were hitting it every week.
I just feel bad because I have so many ideas for the vlog channel, but these other ideas are taking precedence, and I have to just kind of follow
the shiny thing.
I have to follow the shiny thing, even though it's completely unknown. Like there's no guarantee you're going to succeed in any of them.
Never is. God bless it, right? Thank God.
And I think that's the lesson that I had to learn early, and I'm glad that I did, because nobody, like how your ex's dad was like, you're never gonna make it as a writer. I actually got sued when I picked YouTube over acting. I mean, I can't go into the details of that, but it's basically the reason, like it pissed my ex-manager off or whatever, and I had to, like, that was scary, you know. I had to stand by my choice, even though
It became an irrelevant little plot point in your life.
It did, but
it's the smallest little thing, looked like the biggest mountain.
It looked like the biggest
and
mountain.
And now it's the tiniest little fucking rock behind you. But that's the beauty, right?
But I'm glad I went through that, because I stuck with my choice. Even when people close to me were like, yeah, don't you think you should cut the umbilical cord now and like go more into traditional stuff? I'm like, no, I actually like being a creator in charge of my own thing. Yeah, it would be nice to be on a TV show, but not at the detriment of like sacrificing something that I'm building.
Well, that's the thing for me. If I know I can't do a good job at something, just let me die. Just let me die. So I'm like, I go all in or I'm fucked, right? Yeah. So like with you, right? When we got together, I'm like, oh, I'm going all in with you. Whether this is destructive or not, we'll find out together as we collide, like as our atoms collide.
Yeah.
Hopefully we find like a bonding element.
Yeah.
Right? And we did. But like, we're going all in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to look at another chick. I'm never going to talk to another chick. I'm not going to be interested in another chick. It's how I am.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I am about everything. If I find the next shiny thing, I'm going all in on it. And I am talking about
after
women.
Me?
I am talking about women.
Well, I'm prepared.
And it keeps you honest.
Yeah.
I'm getting older. That's why I call you my current wife. I always say she's my current wife because it keeps her on her toes.
That's cute.
Thank you.
Cool. Go play that game.
Yeah, I will.
Go ahead and play that game.
I don't want to. No, but really, like, you know, when it comes to stuff, like every time I have followed that passion, that drivey thing, mm-hmm. it's really benefited for me.
Yeah, I was actually listening to a video today. I've been listening to a lot of like Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks, you know, I don't know if you guys have checked any of those videos out, but the law of attraction stuff, and it sounds woo-woo.
I believe in it. 100%
believe in it. But like, if you like really listen, that's just, she spits straight facts. Like, just let her cook. She cooks. Okay. Nice. And if you listen to it, like she has like a lot of like, addresses a lot of common things, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, earlier she was talking about how, like there's these people going up, like, so in a lot of these videos, people go up and ask a question, and then they're very relatable questions to maybe something that you would actually have a question about as well. And so when she answers, it's like the whole audience gets like the answer that, and it resonates with them too. So this person just gone through a breakup, and they were very like scared about jumping into this new thing because like, what if they get hurt again, you know? And the way they described it, like they wanted to give it their whole heart, but then they're scared of getting hurt. And I think a lot of people relate to that.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, you're a lover. You have to just embrace that you're a lover and you're meant to love. And if you get hurt, it can't change you.
Yeah.
And that is something that I remembered making a distinct choice in when I was going through a breakup. And after I was healed, you know what? I think I could actually kiss another guy and not think about my ex. Yeah. You know, I was like, I can't let any of whatever happened. I loved that person and I gave it my full thing. And just because I got really hurt in it, I'm not going to take any of that away ever. Like, I gave it, I loved with all my heart, and I'll never be ashamed of loving with all my heart, even if I looked foolish in the end. Like, yeah. Even if I looked silly because they didn't love me back and they cheated on me. Okay, well, I'm still the type of person that I'm going to love fully.
Yeah,
and so, like, jumping into our relationship, of course it's scary because, like, we've both got hurt in our last relationships, but I can't ever let that get in the way of, like, how much I can love someone. Like, I knew I could love you with all my heart. And you can't just like let a past experience stop you from that. And so there was another video I was listening to. I can't remember the name of the person, but they were like talking about the same kind of thing in business where like maybe you tried something and you kind of failed at it. Like maybe it didn't go exactly how you wanted. You thought it was going to be this big thing and you had all these ideas and you had these expectations of what it was going to be and then it didn't quite meet your expectations. And so you stopped doing that thing and you found happiness in doing other things, but now you're getting presented the opportunity to do it again. And you're kind of like, well, I already did that and it didn't work out. Even though I really like doing it, I don't know. And you're kind of being coy. He's like, no, just like do it again.
Give me my helmet. Like, I want the ball. Yeah, give me my helmet. I want the ball.
It's a completely different scenario. You can't let this pass. Plus, you probably learned a bunch from the first run.
Put me back in. I will score this time. Watch me, motherfucker.
And
I can't wait.
You're very like that. And I really admire that about you.
Can't wait.
I'm very like,
give me the ball.
Like for a moment, I have to talk myself through it like I'm doing right now where it's like, okay, yeah, I think I fell on my face a little last time I tried doing this. And so it kind of like makes me hesitant to like give it my full heart again. Maybe I could just halfway try it, you know, but it's like, no, like give it your whole fucking heart. Like just choose it and pick it and then run with it. And if you lost, like, let's say like I lose everything I built, but like because I made a run for this new thing. Okay, like it's not the end of the world. You can rebuild other things. Like it's not really not the end of the world. But is that going to happen? That's like worst case scenario. And I think that the ride and the adventure is more of the point to life.
It's what everyone talks about.
It's like everyone's like enjoy the journey, but then when you like,
nobody talks about the destination, talk about the climb.
Yeah,
they
but when
always
it's like
talk
pouring
about the
rain on the journey, you're like, I hate the fucking journey. I just want to be at the end, right?
But guess what's the most interesting part? When they're at the finish line, it was how it was pouring rain on them.
Yes,
and
how they got through it.
They dug deep and they found a way.
And how they learned, because last time they tried going up a mountain, it poured rain on them, and they figured out like they could use this bucket and like it's. And so this time they brought a bucket with them, and it fucking saved them. Well, so that's the whole thing now where. I am embarking on some new adventures and it's really exciting, but it's really scary too because it's completely unknown and it's starting from the beginning. And the last time I went through this exact feeling of this exact cycle was 10 years ago.
Okay, let's can the vagaries. Tell people what you're going through.
Well,
I
part of the magic I feel like is
no,
like,
we need, no,
I'm not
no,
ready
no,
yet.
No, it's not esoteric.
Okay.
I need to hear the fucking subject
matter.
Okay,
well, some people know. I'm starting a new channel, and it is going to be, it's me and another person, and it's part podcast, part sketch. So I've done podcasts, I've done sketch comedy. I like both of them. It's very niche because it's about the poker community. So it also involves poker, and it's combining all the things I'm passionate about with all the things I've ever done in a way that I've never done it before. So it's still very new and I don't know. Is it going to work? Is it a crazy idea?
It's going to work as you do it.
Exactly.
You know, that's it.
But it's exciting.
Everyone hates their first video.
Yeah.
Right? Looking back. But when you did it at the time, you're like, fuck yeah. I uploaded it. I shared it on every platform. I put it out there. I want my mom to see it.
But when you first did it, you hadn't experienced the algorithm fucking you or like, you know, putting your heart and soul to a video and then it doesn't do well even though you expected it to. So you haven't. I've gone through a breakup and now I'm getting into a new relationship and it's like exciting, but also scary, but I can't let the like, you know, previous things, I can only use the previous experiences as a way to help me. Right.
Yep.
And I think that's, I guess, the picking to focus on this thing and like kind of setting everything else aside for a little bit is also the element that's scary for me because I like to think I can do it all. Like I like, oh no, I can handle everything, but then I burn myself out and it's actually counterproductive to what I'm trying to do. But I did this last year where I put everything on hold and just focused on poker and then I final tabled the World Series and like it was actually fucking awesome. So like that kind of is how it feels right now where I kind of know that I'm supposed to put everything else on hold right now and like really like focus on the one thing, but it's still scary because it's like, you know, this is the known and this is the unknown.
Yeah, of course. But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And we're in a creative field, so you have to focus on that.
Yeah.
Right?
The other thing, element that I guess I wanted to talk about or touch on at least, is this idea of this balance, right? Of creating something new or like focusing on something and taking action, and then also letting go a little bit. Like not forcing and not needing to be in complete control at all times.
Yes,
like
please.
Letting kind of like
let it be organic.
The magic happen. Yeah. Like the magic is in this like this part that you can't control. It's like you can do so much and you can put a lot of energy towards, and then you just kind of gotta let it go and like let it breathe and like let it get its own legs and like walk a little bit. Like you can't take your child and like walk its legs every day forever.
That's
like,
the best thing I got from doing movies and stuff. Is like taking it from script to screen.
Yeah.
There's so many steps that have to happen that have nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And you need to let go.
Yeah.
If you don't let go, you'll be miserable.
Yeah.
Trust me.
So first, this idea of focusing on one. And this, like, if you have a problem with to-do lists where you make your to-do list way too fucking long and then you always just feel disappointed in yourself because you can't ever get all those things done and you, like, feel like you're always trying to catch up with time, definitely been there. Instead, how I tackled to-do list is I give myself a week to do it instead of the day. So it's like, okay, you have a whole week to do all these things. And then I end up getting way more done in a day because I just like start checking all those things off knowing I have a whole week. Then if I'm like, okay, you have to get all this done today, I end up doing like nothing because I'm too overwhelmed. So with the greater picture of having all these different like projects that I want to work on, if I tell myself, okay, I have 3 months to work on just this one, I'll probably get it done way sooner, but I just like...
You don't plan that far ahead.
Like, yeah, you can't plan.
You don't though.
No, but I'm just saying like, instead of saying I have to work on all these projects
okay,
right now, like giving myself 3 months to work one, like
okay.
You just, hey, just focus on this one for 3 months. I think that that's a better way to go about it than like kind of forcing yourself to focus on, if it's like if you chase two rabbits, you catch none.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
So there's
crypto,
that. So there's that first element. And then when you're working on that one thing, to like remember to not need to force it to be at a point where it's still like gestate. It's still like forming, right? And I think in the past I've really like, okay, well, I picked this one and it needs to like the seed needs to grow like right
you're
now.
Impatient.
It needs to be a flower
yeah,
now.
You're
like, yeah, I'm a little impatient.
You're very impatient.
So,
it's never served you to be impatient. It's actually served you to be more like me and chill out.
I know. But that's why we balance each other out.
But
it's,
you can't.
It's hard.
So you need me to balance you out because you can't fucking chill on your own.
Yeah.
It just is.
So
you're just a fire and you need a little bit of ice.
Yeah. So listening to like a lot of like law of attraction and stuff, it's all about creating your own reality and like, you know, so you're creating your own reality. But then you have that letting go part is like the hard part. Like the letting it, like let go and let God type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was reading this book recently called The Surrender Experiment. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Only because I talked about it probably.
You have.
Yeah. Well, I read it in like 2 days because it was so freaking good. It was so fascinating. So there's this guy and he was like a business major in the 60s. That started in the 60s. And he basically, the whole book is about this 40-year experiment of him just surrendering to the flow of life, which is like kind of the opposite, like the balance of like creating your own life. Like he decided he didn't want any decisions of anything. Like he's just going to let life dictate what happens to him. And he did this because he was majoring in business and he was completely like, left brain type of guy, like not the like airy fairy flow, like no woo woo at all whatsoever. And then he was like sitting with his brother-in-law one day on the couch and there was a moment of silence where he heard the voice in his head be like, this is awkward, we should talk about something, like because it feels awkward. And then he's like, what is this voice? And he realized he had like this narrator in his head, like this voice in his head. And then the more aware he was of it, the more it bothered him. And so he was trying to figure out how to get rid of it. And then he stumbled onto meditation and yoga and meditation and how that quiets this voice down. So he got obsessed with meditating. And all he wanted to do, he didn't want to go to school anymore because it was bothering him. And this voice was like nonstop chattering. I don't have this nonstop chattering voice. That's like the voice in his head was constantly like, making decisions about what they liked and disliked. It was more like a preference-based voice that was like, oh, I really hate that girl's hat. Oh, I hope that person doesn't come over and talk to me. Oh, I hope this doesn't happen. It was like a preference thing.
Huh.
And so he decided that like he didn't want this like preference-based thinking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just going to let life choose. Like, no longer will he be the servant to his preferences.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, he's just going to meditate and let life happen. So he just wanted to get back and meditate, go to school really quickly, and then he'd come back and meditate, and all he wanted to do is meditate. And he was kind of bothered by the fact that he had to go do these like other obligations, but then he realized that that was also a preference. So he was just like, okay, whatever life wants. And basically, I'm going to sum it up because like it's a whole long story, which is great. Like the whole, you should really read this book because it's like crazy the way it happens. But he goes from like living in his van in the woods to owning a $300 million health technology company. And like the whole time he's just focused on his meditation. But then he like his professor asks him to coach this other student. So then he tutors this student and the student ends up being really good. And they're like, hey, why don't you just try to get your business degree with me? Like, take this last exam. Like, it's just one more exam. And he's like, oh, I don't want to. I already decided I'm not going to finish school, but I guess I'll just take this last exam. And he ends up passing with flying colors. And then he like gets offered this job because he was such a good, he's just such a good teacher. So he gets offered this teaching job. So then he's doing this teaching job on the side and all he wants to do is meditate. And then this girl comes on like wandering, this woman just wanders on his property and starts meditating with him.
He's like, I'll fucking marry you.
It ends up being like this whole meditation school where like all these other people just started meditating with him. And then this like guru wanted to visit because she heard that he had a meditation school, which he didn't. He just had like people meditating on his property. And so the guru's like, you're going to build a temple here. And then he ends up building a temple there. And then like all these other like gurus start coming in. This was like during the consciousness era of the 60s where there was like a revolution with all like these yogis and the Beatles were all like going to India to go to like visit with gurus. So there was like guru like tours all the time. And so like he's having like gurus come to his thing, but they were actually like real gurus that were like very spiritual.
Real gurus?
Like they were spiritual, like in a way where like the energy like changed his life. Yeah. But he just never planned on having a temple on his property. And then like his neighbor would be moving and like selling their property for cheap. So then he bought that property and he would donate all the funds to the temple. And like the temple just kept expanding. And then he got into like building computer programs. And then like he ended up inventing this technology because some company wanted him to. And he's like, I don't know, it's going to take a long time. They're like, we don't care. We'll take 2 years and do it. And then so he works on this program for 2 years and it's like revolutionizing the healthcare industry. And so then he's like, his company gets offered like millions of dollars and then they merge with WebMD. And then anyway, he ends up getting sued because one of the people in his business like committed fraud. So then he gets sued because he's on the like board, and then he goes and like he loses basically everything, and like all of this stuff happened with him just like meditating in the fucking woods living in a van.
Great story. So yeah, if you start meditating, if you let the universe if you let Jesus take the wheel, you'll get sued.
No, a balance.
Okay.
So there was like, he did all these wonderful things, built a construction company too. Like, he'd never had any experience doing that, but then he had friends that like, it was just like a whole story. But the point is like he went the other direction of just letting like life control the wheel. Yeah,
and because it was in America, he got sued.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
He got off. Like, he didn't like have to go to jail. He didn't have to go to jail.
Off is pretty good. I like that.
Like, basically he learned a lot about the justice system and the FBI, good. Like, yeah, how fucked up a lot of shit is, but
great. What an inspiration.
But my point is that like the more he let go, the more crazy like awesome things happened.
The more
happened
legal
too.
Action happened.
No, he touched a lot of people's lives.
That's great.
He built people's houses.
It's awesome.
It was wonderful story.
You know who built a lot of houses too?
What?
His name's Jimmy Carter. And you know what people say about him?
What?
He was like the worst president of all time. They shit all over the guy.
Why did they say that?
Poor son of a gun. Because inflation was crazy during his reign. But now, it's nowhere near compared.
Yeah.
Anywho, but yeah, that's what I mean. He's a very nice fella. Spent his life building houses for people. People still take shots at him all day.
While he's getting sued, he's writing this book about his entire life experience, and it ends up becoming a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, I like
both
that.
Of them. He wrote two books during this time of him getting sued, And one was called Untethered Soul, about like basically disconnecting from what's going on around you, which is also a law of attraction thing where like instead of focusing on what is, focusing on what you want to be, like what is old news. It's like,
I completely agree.
It's the culmination of everything you thought before.
If well, I am about anything, it's that.
Yeah, you can think your own next reality though. Like this is already, this is the past that got manifested. This is what you're seeing right now. Like, but you can create the future by stopping just focusing on this what is. That's why I don't like to watch the news, because it's like, you're just focusing on bad shit all the time. And then you're creating more bad shit in your life. And like, just stop doing that. Like, have an opinion, sure, but like, focus on things that make you feel good, because that's going to create more things that make you feel good. But anyway, so his first book is called Untethered Soul, and it was on Oprah. Okay, but it was about him like detaching in the moment. And like, I haven't read that one yet, but this is what he says it's about.
It's an Oprah book club?
Yeah. And so that's how people found out about this other book he read called The Surrender Experiment. I found it randomly on Amazon. It got suggested to me and it had a lot of good ratings. So that's how I found it. But point being, even through this darkest moment of his life, he had his health, he had his family, he had a kid, a loving wife, and he was able to detach and write two best-selling books. Even in the midst of all this like craziness, nonsense going on, he wasn't attached to any of these like material things either. Like, he didn't really care about the money other than like that lots of people's lives were getting impacted by it.
Look, I'll tell you about the book that I'm going to write. If you guys want to talk about calling the next thing and like living in the future.
Yeah.
My book that I'm going to write once I do it again in crypto is going to be called All's What That I Do Is Win. And it's going to be about my entire crypto journey and how I did it again and again and again. And then, so that I already did it again and again and again. But now I'm going to have to do it again.
Yeah.
And the story's going to be about.
And it keeps going again that. And again. And then there's a sequel that's but last time, but I did again.
Oh, no. This next, all what that I do is win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if I do something, it will be win again, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
of course.
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, there's a mentality to this shit. It's but I know how I did it. Like, I didn't just fall on a banana peel and like accidentally find a crypto
but
and
that's
buy
how
the
I,
shit out of it.
That's my life.
Exactly. It is your life. That is your life.
Fall on a banana peel and I end up like at the top
of a mountain.
Another
thin. I do a whole nother thin.
Yeah. Which,
but it's worked for me very well.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. And like, even now in the doldrums of like, or whatever you call it, it's not really the doldrums right now. It's actually, we're kind of like, starting to emerge out of it, starting to see light at the end of the tunnel. But like probably 5-6 months ago, everyone's like, oh my God, the darkness couldn't be darker. We couldn't be further down the mine. And all this
they
shit.
All turn into Bane from Batman.
Yeah. But like that's the thing is like, no, that is when you're supposed to be focused up the hardest and working the hardest.
Yeah.
Working harder than the person next to you, because you will win if you do that and you focus up and you don't fuck yourself.
So the focus part.
It's everything.
What you focus on grows.
It's everything.
So if you focus on the negative, that grows. If you focus on like the positive or where you're going, that grows.
If you do this bullshit to yourself, oh, I can't believe I got fucked over by whatever. Dude, you're fucked already, bro.
But I think that's the problem that a lot of people have is because we're really like raised to look at what is, and you're kind of called like a woo-woo crazy person if you like you're delusional if you're like not focusing on what is.
You can call me a woo-woo as long as you call me a woo-man.
A woo-man.
Thank you.
Yeah, a woo-woo man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As much as you want.
Yeah. We're going to go on a break, and then when we come back, we're going to explore this concept a little bit more. Buy whatever we tell you to buy.
BRB
LOL. LMAFO.
A great band.
Horrible
dance crews worked
R-O-F-L.
With them. Not good dance crews worked with them, but a good band.
Yeah.
Little shot at Ryan.
Okay, we're going on a break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we're back. Noah, what were you saying about focus?
No, look, it's just about, you know, knowing what the finish line is.
Yeah.
And okay, recalibrating towards how do you get there now, right? Okay, new conditions have come.
Yeah.
We know what the weather is now. We know what the conditions are. We know what kind of terrain we're on.
Yeah.
How are we going to get there now? And adjusting.
So I've been trying this new thing, okay, and it's been working. And like, that's why I'm sharing it, because then I heard it in a video from Abraham Hicks.
Okay.
After I had already been testing this thing, and I'm like, that's exactly what I've been doing, and that's exactly what's been happening. Okay, so it's like, here's what I want. I want X, you know, like whatever it is. Here's what I want. How does it feel? So you visualize it. It's not about your vision coming to exact reality. It's like, what when you visualize getting that thing, receiving that job, like getting that prize, whatever it is, like being in that relationship, whatever it is for you, like what does it feel like when you think about yourself there? And for some people, when they visualize it, they get sad because they think about how they don't have that yet.
Okay.
But you need to like cut that shit out. You need to like act as if you have it right now in this moment. What does that feel like? And remember that feeling and really focus on that feeling. And then
that's what I do with crypto.
Okay, good. And then be open to whatever way gets you there. So I have ideas of how I'm going to get there. Like, okay, like let's say, for example, I want to win a WSOP bracelet. Okay, well, I'm not going to get a bracelet if I don't play poker. Like if I, I have to play poker.
Right.
So that's a one. Two, I should probably study the game, like strategy and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that for sure. I'm going to study with a coach and like, you know, read books and like practice a lot. And then I'm going to like enter the tournaments that have bracelets attached to it. So you could actually, because like if you don't enter the right events that have bracelets attached to it, then how's you going to win a bracelet? Okay, so I have
yes,
some.
You could still
so those are my ideas. Like, okay, like I could do like these three things. Like that seems like that will take me in the right direction, right? So those are what I'm in control of. I could do those things. But then like how it actually gets there, I don't know. Like I'm going to be open to like it getting there. And I think this is where I fucked up in the past, is because I would get an idea of how to get there and then it had to get there that way. Like, and
yes,
when like
mistake.
I was not open to it getting there any other way. And then when it wouldn't get there, I'd get really sad about like, because it didn't, maybe it would have gotten there some other way, but I wasn't open to it. And so
my thing is, I do a similar thing to you, but I call it positions, not price.
Mm-hmm.
Like where I understand the crypto that I'm getting into. And so I know why I need a position in it.
Yeah.
And if the price goes down, I don't give a fuck because I'm adding to my position.
Yeah.
So, but people get so hung up on it because they're like, oh man, like I bought when it was 55 cents and now it's like fucking 20 cents. Like I should have waited.
They get emotional.
And yeah, and it's like, dude, no, it's about positions, not price, because you're building your stack for the future. Like if what you bought into was smart anyway, you know why it's an advantage at 20 cents and why it's cheap compared to 50 cents. Yeah. Instead of thinking of it like, it's fucked and it's over.
You see
or whatever.
How two people can look at the exact same thing and feel two different ways about
yes,
it?
Yes, I do.
See, and I think that like your attitude, I really believe after studying a lot of successful people, like reading like Think and Grow Rich, reading books about, you know, billionaires and successful people, like it really is this like mindset of
like,
you know why, you have the vision of why, and then also the feeling part of like, this isn't the end of the world. This is actually a good thing. Like when this thing happens, this is a good thing, and here's why it's good.
Dude, I'm not to sell myself, but I'm one of the only people who has had a wedding that people made, they became millionaires because they went to my wedding. Not kidding. It's actually not even a joke.
Yeah.
People were buying Ethereum at my wedding. I was helping them set up wallets. Ethereum was like $30.
Yeah.
At my wedding.
You had it when it was like $8.
I got it was like six to $8. Yeah, yeah. It was like channeling between those two things.
So at this point, you're like, it already went up a little bit and you were telling people why it's going to go up more.
I'm like, let's fucking go, right? Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like people change their lives going to our wedding and just like, Steve's buying the stupid thing. Who gives a fuck? It's his wedding. I don't know, baby. I don't know. You know what I mean? And like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll get a fucking Coinbase wallet, whatever that is. I've never heard of my life. Is this okay website to use? Is this going to hack me or something?
Yeah.
Like, it was like that. But like, you know, but it's just that thing of, it's not that I was like, oh, you got to buy this thing that I'm buying. It helps me. It did nothing for me. It had a lot of volume, whatever. It was like, I know what smart contracts mean to this game and what they, how they will be a paradigm that shifts this entire market and why you need some exposure to it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It was a market need. I understood the market need and I couldn't wait to attack it. And I couldn't wait to proselytize that I was attacking it.
Yeah.
But like, that's the thing. Like, you have to understand what your advantage is. And then sometimes too, you can't believe how well you did based on the work that you did. So like, I tell Kenny all the time, my little brother, he's like my crypto protege. I have raised him from a crypto babe and yeah. turned him into a crypto king and his own crypto prince.
Sometimes he freaks out a little bit.
He freaks out. The kid stresses me out more than anybody because I care about what he thinks. So when he stresses out, I'm like, oh, I got to fucking fix this. But I'm just saying the kid has never even put anywhere close to six figures into crypto. And he's gotten all the way up to $40,000 shy of $1 million. But that's the whole thing is like, you have to know why you bought something and eventually you have to sell it.
Yeah.
And we're going to work on that this next run. No, I mean, we did fine this last time because we sold more than enough.
We hedged,
yeah. Thank God. But, you know, it's really just about knowing why you bought something and why you maybe have an advantage. And then, like, for example, with Woo, I am constantly blown away by how this team delivers. And I honestly think that, like, you know, I did so good finding Woo when I did, but also we went down in price and all that shit, so we got a major, major, major advantage. But then I'm like, man, like, Woo is delivering so much here at the low that I'm like, I can't even believe that it's this great. And by the way, little plug, we're going to be talking to Ben York from Woo, the Woo team. I have nothing to do with the Woo team. Woo team's never given me anything. They never even give me a fucking hat. All the stuff that I have from Woo, I've gotten on my own. But I'm excited to talk to him because all the people in Crypto Corner community have a lot of questions because we've all been part of Woo for a long time now. And we have a lot of questions for the Woo comms manager, Ben York, who is a gem. I've spoken with him now. I'm very excited about that episode, so look forward to that. But I just can't believe how well it's already working out. But like you said, you know, it's not shown up yet in the price necessarily. But the fundamentals, it just keeps on fucking singing. So I just, you know, it's just one of those things where you just have to kind of sit here, maybe seeming woo-woo, but knowing the fundamentals of why something's going to work.
Can you also talk about how, like, because I love your passion, but like you started with your YouTube channel, then going to screenwriting, and then now you don't have a problem dropping everything going to crypto. Like it seems on the outside, like you have seamless transitions.
Yeah.
Like, cause for me, my transitions are like chaos.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how to transition. It's hard for me to change. And it's hard for me to give up things that I've already done. And like,
it's so easy for me to drop something if it bores me. But, and I don't mean that, like I don't have ADD. I don't know what I have. I can hyper-focus on something.
Yeah.
And I think that that's maybe what's good about me is that I can hyper-focus like nothing else and I won't even know anything else exists.
Yes. Sometimes to my own dismay, I'm like, you said you're going to empty the dishwasher 3 days ago.
Exactly. But, and you know, little things that I could fix and I do, but we're all work in progress.
Yeah.
But yeah, following the shiny thing has always benefited me in my life. Like, you know, even just when I first found YouTube, I just remember being like, man, I can't believe that all these assholes are making money doing this shit. Like, you know, I really thought that too. I thought they were a bunch of assholes. Like, I did. I was on Kasim G is a buddy of mine. I love Kasim G.
Yeah.
But I didn't know him from anybody. And when I met everybody on the set, I met like everybody at Maker Studios on the set of Hot Girls.
I didn't know anybody either. Like,
on the station.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody. And so I was just like, man, all these assholes are just like ignoring everybody, looking at their phones all day, which is rude. And now that's like what everyone does.
Yeah.
But I was like, these people are fucking rude.
They had iPhones and like when the iPhones came out.
When
like,
they first came out, yeah.
No one had iPhones.
And I was like, okay, first of all, these people are rude. Second of all, they're self-absorbed as fuck. But then, like, I didn't know they were working.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know that.
You don't know the nuance. Environment. Yeah.
So, like, later on, I learned that I was being stupid.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I was like...
You weren't stupid. You were ignorant.
Ignorant. Thank you.
You just didn't understand.
But I am self-aware enough to go, oh, looking back, oh, I know why I was an asshole.
Yeah.
I hope everyone can put themselves there. Because it really does help you.
Yeah, being aware is great.
Helps you learn.
Yeah. But acknowledging like when you're an asshole and you're like,
please do.
It's growth.
So then, yeah, I, you know, maybe thought I was better than some people because of that.
Yeah.
I'm a polite person. I won't treat people weird on set.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to the camera guy and not my phone while they're fucking trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
You know, like little things that I thought like, oh, I'll just be like a decent person who does YouTube. You know what I mean? And I was like, maybe that'll be my advantage. And then, you know, thanks to the people that I was around and like the environment I was in, I was able to flourish because I cared.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's why I did okay, right?
Yeah.
I cared. But then like, you know, it was following that next thing every time I've ever done it. Like when I was coming out of high school, had a chick call me up and she's like, you're funny. Come do improv with me. Like I do professional improv at this theater group. Come do improv with me.
Yeah.
We do it every week. And I was like, I don't fucking care. I you know what I mean? Honestly, I was just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I worked for my dad at the time. I was a janitor at his business.
You were killing it. You're crushing the game.
Crushing the game.
Yeah.
I was like, why would I care? I'm a janitor. I got my life figured out. No, I was very much just like, I don't care because I want to do this LA thing. I want to move to LA.
Yeah.
So like, why would I stay in San Diego? I'm ready to move to LA. And then I just found that like, well, while I build this nest egg, I'll just go try this improv thing out and we'll see what happens. Turned out to be because I came into this audition not giving a fuck, that's why I was like an immediate ad. They like were like, please, yeah, join the team and all this stuff. Because I didn't care.
Yeah.
It was like the best audition I've ever had,
that's
ever,
awesome.
Probably in my life.
Yeah.
Other than with The Wedding Ringer,
mm-hmm.
which I nailed too.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
Like those two things. Like, I was just like, because I didn't care about either of them.
Yeah.
I was like, because coming into it, you were the one who primed me for Wedding Ringer. You're like, you're never going to get it.
What?
You were awesome about it.
I don't remember.
You were like, you're not going to get it. Like,
what?
Yeah, you know, you told me I wasn't going to get
it. I don't remember saying that.
No, but it was great. No, it wasn't mean.
Okay.
It was very much like just, it was like a mindset thing.
Okay.
It was like, just remember when you go in there, you're not going to get this.
Huh.
So like, what do you care? You know what I mean? And it helped me. It was like, oh yeah, I'm not going to get this. So I'm just going to go in there and fucking just do my thing. Just take
Did I really believe you weren't going to get it? Like, I'm confused. I don't remember saying
that.
Yeah.
When I first got the audition, you're like, oh, your first movie audition for a major motion picture, like Sony thing.
I don't remember this at all.
Oh, no, you were awesome. It was the best thing that I could have ever heard at the time.
Okay.
I credit you for this. Because
it might have been based off of something you said that
the same mindset that I had going into my improv audition, which is I don't need this, I don't care.
Yeah.
Is what you gave me going into this. It was a mindset. It wasn't like a hatred thing.
Okay, yeah.
It was like a mindset thing. It's like you're not gonna get it, you don't care.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah,
you're already doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Who cares? And it was that helped me get it.
Yeah, I think more like the lines of like, you don't need this. Like, this isn't even what you do.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And it was like, I was like, thank you. Cause if not for that, I wouldn't have got it. If not for you telling me that, I wouldn't have got it. I never would have been in that movie if not for you.
It's like when I was going to the poker tournament and I was like, I feel like I'm just lighting money on fire. Like, I don't even understand tournaments. I play cash games. Like, and you were like, yeah, but how funny would it be if you went all the way to the end?
Fucking
wouldn't
exactly.
that be hilarious?
This
and
is
I'm
why
like,
you need
that
a,
is funny.
This is why you need a person.
And I just thought about that the whole time. I was like, yeah, but it'd be funny. But like, I'm not going to make it. I have 20 big blinds left. I'm going to have to shove this. Like, it's the, we're 3 hours in. Like, I'm going to play cash after this. But it would be really funny if like this just kept snowballing.
This is why you need a person who can help you kind of counterbalance your intensity.
Yeah.
Because I was being intense.
Yeah.
Right?
So I have like, a sign in my office that says it's not that,
not serious.
LOL.
I love that part.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love that you have that and you have don't die with your music still in you.
Yeah.
I love both of those things very much. I think about those a lot. But it, but I'm just saying, when I got this audition, I think Nikki could sense that I was taking it way too seriously.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
And being way too intense about it. And honestly, this is why probably stand-up in me never worked out, is because I just get way too intense.
Yeah.
And I cannot just deliver it like it's normal.
Yeah.
I have to deliver it like a rehearsed actor who like
is
hitting his
mark. It's so interesting to me because you're funny and you're like, with the only, like when you're doing stand-up, like the funny parts are when you like go off book and just start riffing with the crowd. But like when you try to do your set, it's like you're trying to remember. Yeah, you're trying to
reading,
like, you remember what you wrote down and what you said.
I'm reading like fucking, it's like I'm in an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical and it's like, dude, this is so wooden. Why are you like this? But yeah, it, you know, it is what it is.
You're great at improv.
I know my strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I think you kind of helped me key on that and like, hey, you're taking this very seriously. Just know.
Yeah.
You're not going to get this. It's all good. Let it go. Who gives a fuck? You don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helped me get it.
Good.
But every time that you book something, you know, that it helped reinforce that for me. Because every time you book something, you're like, I was late. I came in. I was panic attacked. I had my period and I was like, fuck it. And then you booked it every time. Am I wrong?
Yeah, it was always when I like that one show that I almost did this like network TV show that I can't talk about anymore. But like,
yeah,
I don't get hangovers, but I had like a bowl of Jello shots and then went out for my birthday and like people were buying me drinks. And then my manager calls and says like, I have an audition the next morning. And can I be there at 8 a.m. in Santa Monica?
Yeah.
And like to get to Santa Monica at 8 a.m. from the Valley, you have to leave at like 6:30 a.m., which means you got to get up at 6 and like get ready. It's already like 8 p.m. I'm drunk as fuck. Yeah. Like the drunkest I've been in my life. The room is spinning. Yeah. People are spending the night at my house. I wake up at six o'clock and I can barely open my eyes. I feel like I'm going to like throw up every time I stand up. But I'm like, and I go to this audition with the same makeup I had from the night before.
9:30 in the morning.
Eight in the morning. So I left at 6:30. Oh, right. So like I have the makeup on from the night before because I can't even brush my teeth or wash my face because I'm so fucking sick. And I'm driving on the 405 freeway in traffic with the sun shining on my fucking face. I end up throwing up in the car in a Ralph's bag that was funny. It was called Ralph's when I was Ralphing into it. That's the universe telling,
that's
being
pretty,
haha funny.
Good.
And I don't throw up either, but
no,
like
you do not.
But like,
and you don't hang over either.
I was so sick. And like,
that was your first hangover.
Yeah, it really was. And it was like, if I had been able to sleep it through, I probably wouldn't have been so hungover. But I ended up like just filling this entire bag up with barf on the 405
Jello
freeway
shots.
While I'm driving. I mean, you're barely driving because you're in bumper to bumper traffic. And then I show up to the audition. I throw my throw up bag away in the front of the fucking audition, like where there's a trash can. And then we go and the whole thing is like improv and comedy and like you got to do battle raps. And like, I'm never booking this.
Literally never.
I'm literally never booking
this. For my agent.
Yeah. I'm like doing this because I said I would be here and it just is bad form to not show up.
Yep, you can't do it.
But I'm never booking this. I get a callback like out of like all these fucking people. And I go to the callback and I'm like, well, I'm never booking the callback because I literally don't even know what I did. And so then in the callback, I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like it's a whole group callback, whatever. And I go back and I tell my manager, I'm like, I'm never booking that. Like, sorry. I'm sorry I fucked up so bad.
Formal
like,
apology.
Yeah. Like just like ahead of time, like didn't totally
hey,
fucking
tell them to have
that.
Trash cans in the lobby next time. Okay?
Yeah. Like this is the callback. I was like, I don't fucking know. I don't care. And, they were like, we want her on the show.
Yeah. How do we
like
sign her?
The only thing is that I had to go to this like 1 week primer, like with the new cast, and like it wasn't officially guaranteed to be on there, but they were like taking my t-shirt size, my shoe size. Like it was like done deal. The wardrobe was like going into this, but like it wasn't an official done deal. And it was like during when Google was flying me out to like to Sundance to pitch my own project for something, which ended up getting stolen and becoming the Liza.
We'll talk about that soon.
The Liza Cozy show,
allegedly stolen.
Not stolen. Allegedly. Because I don't want to get in legal trouble.
It was allegedly stolen.
It just happened to be our exact fucking show that we got greenlit through like three different interview processes.
It's alleged.
And then all of a sudden ghosted.
It's a
and
story.
Then I auditioned for my own show like 6 months later. But you know what? It was probably a coincidence.
Could have been Liza Koji. Could have been Alex Mack stole our show. Yeah, it's alleged.
Could it be? No, Liza Koji didn't steal it. Google, YouTube.
Potentially. Or
maybe
DuckDuckGo.
Took this idea, crafted it into their own, and changed just enough details, and then cast a way bigger YouTuber that would get way more views than me.
Maybe. But
probably that's
not.
What happened.
But probably not.
I do not at all like Liza Koshy has no idea any of this happened. Like,
and
but YouTube maybe had known about it and maybe they stole the idea, but it's fine because
it's
that's
totally
in the past.
Fine.
And maybe I gave up this TV show because I thought my idea was getting produced because it'd been greenlit so much.
But
you know
was
what?
Was it YouTube? Nah, it's
bygones
probably Rumble.
Be bygones.
It's probably Rumble.
I can't remember what company it was because I don't want legal trouble.
It's just
but
a
could
rumor.
It have been something similar to the Liza Koshy show that
nah,
they and then they eventually won Streamies for?
Nope.
You know what? Definitely not. But how about we just follow our, you know, maybe that wasn't meant for us. Maybe that wasn't meant for us. And maybe they traumatized us to never trying again. And maybe that's why we have all these issues. But you know what?
That's
we forgot
what
about that.
That's right.
And we're trying it again because
damn
that
right.
Fuck it. Because
damn
life
right.
Was like, just do it again, you
let's
weirdo.
Go. That's it.
So
do it
we're
again
getting,
is
we're
the
getting
theme,
back
is
to
theme.
Home plate. We're back to home plate. It doesn't matter what happened in the last game because it's a new baseball game and this
shit?
Is a sports analogy.
It's we're on to Cincinnati. That's what I tell Crypto Corners.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati. Well,
what's
that's
Cincinnati.
What, well, when the Patriots, the year they won the Super Bowl, they got cleaned out like 1 week. They're against I can't remember what the fuck team it was, but they got destroyed. Like, it was so bad that everyone's like, is Belichick too old? Is Brady a shitty quarterback now? They ended up winning 3 Super Bowls after that, by the way. But Bill Belichick, when he was asked about it, I think it was against the Ravens.
Yeah.
But when Bill Belichick was asked about it, he said, we're on to Cincinnati. Like, we don't give a fuck about what happened before. And that's what I say to anybody who ever asked me about Luna or whatever. I'm like, we're on to Cincinnati. I don't,
yeah,
I don't give
that's
a fuck.
What, the, honestly, every successful person, like, winners, they don't dwell on the past.
I don't know how to.
If you're stuck in the past, dwelling on the past and all the reasons your new thing won't work because of the past reasons why it didn't work before or whatever, you're just still like, you're emotionally, you're in the past. So you're just going to keep recreating the same situation over and over again because that's what you're resonating with.
It was the Chiefs. Sorry. Not the Ravens. Okay. Remembering off the top of my head.
Completely different colors. I don't know how you forget that, but okay.
Well, I was just thinking about AFC Titans at the time, but I was wrong because this was more of an emerging team.
This is really important, too.
I'm just
glad that you're getting these details
I'm just
right.
Saying, no, but it really is. We're on to Cincinnati. Like, no matter what happens, things
you're
will happen.
Cincinnati.
And we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the only way that you can think about anything, in my opinion. Like, it's like, great, you fucked up.
And when you're like, hey, I want to do this, and then you let it go. You're not like so in control about
what
it.
What is kicking the shit out of yourself
fun
do?
With it.
What does it actually do for you? Honestly, if you can learn from kicking the shit out of yourself, then go put the pads on and beat yourself up with
a
fucking mat.
I learned that like through therapy that was just a childhood coping mechanism because that's the way I was raised, was to beat yourself up every time you made a mistake. And that's how you learn, is because you got to beat yourself up. So I thought that I couldn't like learn and be better if I didn't beat myself up first. And it's just not how it goes.
You're
like
in the
you
Super
don't
Bowl
have to
and
do
you
that.
You throw a pick. You know what you should do? Go beat yourself up the whole rest of the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who does that?
No.
But you can't win.
You can't win.
You won't win the
because
game.
Your mindset's completely thrown off.
Exactly.
It's called going on tilt in the poker.
Exactly.
World,
you got to throw the ball again. You got to throw deep. You got to be willing
to
throw
take a breath
deep.
And forget that happened.
It didn't happen.
And if it helps you, like sometimes this helps me if I lose a big pot, I pretend like I won that pot. Like in my head, I think about like the feeling of like I just dragged that pot. And then I like really try to make myself believe that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do something a little different. I think about the person who's laughing that I threw that pick. Think about that person.
Oh, you're like getting angry. You're like getting angry.
It helps me.
It doesn't help me to get angry.
It gets me there. No, because I think about that and I remember what they said and I don't forget. And sometimes I screenshot it. And sometimes I scared it every single day.
That doesn't help me.
And it helps me.
Every time I've tried to do revenge moves, I get fucked so hard.
Every time I try to do revenge moves, I get revenge and the person apologizes to me.
Okay, well, that's nice.
It's awesome. Different or they're strokes, my ex and they're fucking trying to suck my dick again. Whoa. But they can't anymore.
Excuse me.
But like that was the best. Lewd. That was the best.
That's lewd. That was the other episode.
Yeah, you're combining
episodes.
I'm still there. I'm everywhere.
Okay.
I'm in the next episode.
Your body's in the past.
No, I'm in the next episode right now.
Got it.
All right.
What's the next episode?
It's about timing.
Okay, Dr. Dre.
Okay, watch me.
Ready for the next episode.
All right.
Anyway, timing is a good like topic. I could follow this actually. One.
See, there it is.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that part of my journey
I'm
right now.
I'm very excited about your journey. It's part
of the mountain that I'm on.
I support it a million times percent.
Thank you.
And also, it is, you know, every step there be progress.
You can't remember the Churchill quote, can you?
Hold on.
He says this quote a lot.
Hold on, it's my favorite
quote.
You guys
should already know.
Hold on. I know the rest of it. I don't know how it opens.
Yeah. You'll get it. Sometimes I forget Eminem songs and man. I'm like, I know this whole Eminem song. Why am I forgetting it? Anyway, I was on a fucking roll talking about like how I thought I'd share that with you in case anyone else was going through the same thing. So you interrupted me anyway. Sure. This is like the journey part of the journey. And like, it's not about the end. It's about like having fun along the way. And even when it's raining, you make it fun. You like find a game with it, like make it fun, like stop taking yourself seriously and just fucking like be okay with that. The fact that you're not going to know how it's going to get there. Maybe you thought you're supposed to go this way up the mountain and then that trail's closed. Now you got to go this other way and you don't fucking know.
And God
like,
bless
and
it.
Guess what? You're still going up the mountain because you're still putting one foot in front of the other and you're going to learn, you're going to find out a bunch of cool things on the way. So.
Because every day you make progress, every step be fruitful. And yet there will lay before you an ever lengthening, ever ascending, ever improving path. And this, so far from discouraging, only adds to the joy and glory of the climb.
There you go.
Couldn't resonate harder.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, take that, everyone.
There you go. And check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky.
Yeah, it really helps the show out. And it's $5 and it's like $125 a week. Like it's really pennies. And you get to be part of our Discord community, the best community on planet Earth. Steve does 2-hour crypto streams or more, like a long time more every single week, every single
week. Every Tuesday night, 7
p.m. PST. We do
live
streams once a month. You get these episodes a day early. And we do a free roll poker tournament where there's cash prizes for the top 3 places. Today, we had a new winner, Thomas. I believe it's Thomas.
No.
No, that was you winning Scattergories.
Oh.
You didn't win poker.
But can you just say I won?
No.
Okay. Who won?
Congrats to Thomas Tran, who won today. And then Ken Nachos also got second. She's been freaking crushing every time. And then.
Always congrats to Ken Nachos and Thomas, obviously.
Yeah. But and then Omar got third.
But also congrats to the guy who won the sticky stream, too.
No, okay. We got to go.
So we do want to spotlight
that. Whatever we told you to buy.
We would love to spotlight that real
quick. And thank you for watching and sharing the show.
I actually never won a sticky stream before, and I finally won, and Nikki won. I acknowledge it.
We would like to say
thank you
to our sponsors as well. Let them know that we sent you. Let us know in the comments what you're going through in your journey, and hope you're not taking yourself too seriously.
We've been doing this for years.
We'll see you next week.
And I can't get
involved. I love you. Bye.
This is like my dad's. It's like my dad's here.
You're wearing a fake Super Bowl ring.
I need a fake Super Bowl ring because the Colts suck.
Okay.
's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings. But I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.